From the early months of the 2008 campaign and through the first 2.5 years of the Obama administration, Arun Chaudhry had a unique perspective on the President of the United States. He was the first official White House videographer. Some of the moments Chaudhry captured were small, like the president throwing warm-up pitches deep inside Busch Stadium in St. Louis before the All-Star game. Some are intensely emotional, as when Obama confronts a grieving teenager whose father had died in a devastating tornado. And some, just plain bizarre, like being trapped in a White House bathroom while the president conducted a YouTube town hall on the other side of the door. Arun Chaudhry is the author of the new book, First Cameraman, documenting the Obama presidency in real time. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Give us a sense. We just heard from the president from the White House speaking of the tragedy in Libya this morning. Is that something that you would have been responsible for, given that there's a large press corps there? What would your role have been?
You know, not only is there the press corps there out in the Rose Garden to shoot it, there's also a military presence of someone on that stage with the press who would have been covering it. So it would have been my job to kind of fill in the gaps. So, for instance, I would have been in the outer Oval Office, right next to the Oval Office, with whoever was about to walk out with the president, or in the Oval Office getting him in his final moments preparing before he leaves. Maybe he's speaking with Secretary Clinton, who I believe is also at that statement. You know, them kind of preparing their final moments. And then also I'd be there to kind of pick them up when the speech was over, when they came back into the Oval Office. So it was my job to get these moments just before, just after the public speeches that I think kind of inform them just as much as the content.
Who dictated to you when you could start rolling and when you should stop?
I dictated to me when I could, when I started and stopped. But that being said, I was very self-censoring because I knew if there had been a string of incidents of "we really wish you hadn't filmed that," that all of a sudden then there would be this list of rules of what I could and couldn't shoot. So in general, I used my own judgment. With all the president's public events and even private moments in the West Wing, but there was a rule, and not just for me, but for the photo office in general, which is that if it was going to bleed over into the family, you really needed to check beforehand. And I think that that's probably, you know, good, because the American people certainly have a right to know what their president is doing in the service of his duties. But when it comes to actually having dinner with his kids and stuff, you know, not only does he not want me there, I don't even think America particularly wants me there filming.
So how did this whole position come to be, in the sense of why was it felt necessary that we have a videographer?
Well, you know, it happened on the campaign very organically, you know, because especially in the beginning, you don't have you know, military videographers following you around and stuff. If you want to put out your own movies, you have to make them. And so I would travel ahead of the candidate and trying to get those speeches up on the internet and stuff. But gradually, and not just me, senior advisors, David Plouffe, Axelrod, these guys were noticing that the best footage I was getting was not the speeches, but was the moment before the speech or right after. Or, for instance, one time the president just delivered a birthday message into the camera for a staffer. And they were like, wow, there's something really compelling there. And that's when I think we realized that we had a man who was exactly the same on and off camera. And when you're working in politics, believe me, that is a rare, rare thing.
What was it about the power of the coverage, do you think, that would say, okay, we'll take this from the campaign to the presidency? I mean, did you know from the very beginning that this would be a long-term commitment, or were they willing to, let's see how it goes?
I mean, I got the idea during transition period, which is, you know, after the election, that we were definitely going to want to continue this at the White House, although what exactly this was, we hadn't really explored, you know, but trying to figure out exactly where I would be and how it would work was a little confusing, because you go from a campaign when you have a total message machine to the presidency, where my job changed when I joined the White House photo office, which was to categorize and film these moments for history, for historical purposes, not just for a messaging purpose. And so trying to figure out exactly what my job was in transition one another was very hard, because as you know, as a place like the White House, new things are frowned upon. You know, hey, I have a new idea. That's not necessarily everyone's excited when you come up with a new idea. And so it was definitely an organic growth from the campaign that resulted in it, but it's definitely not a secure position. You know, this president happens to have this great personality and temperament for this, but should Governor Romney become president, I very much doubt that they would want to have a videographer for him.
I was surprised, and we talked about this early on in our discussions at the onset of this program, that I was surprised that it really took this long for there to be an official White House videographer. I think you're absolutely right that there are personalities that are more flattering to this than others. But, you know, Bill Clinton comes to mind immediately of someone that this would seem a natural for, and that had never been discussed.
Yeah, well, I think you have a moment in 2008 where technology meets the moment, and in the moment meets the personality. So, I mean, people have always wanted to film presidents, and I even think there are presidents who very much wanted to be filmed. But you needed more than one person, and it became unwieldy. And in the 60s, Kennedy had a good relationship with a filmmaker named Robert Giroux, who was a journalist, but, you know, he was a documentary filmmaker, and he made some amazing inside the Oval Office, you know, documentaries that really is very real, it's very authentic, but it's also impossible to sustain. You know, they had to pick and choose what they would do because they couldn't have people and lights and these people following the president around for that long. And so in 2008, I think we had a similar personality coming around, but then with a technology that was small enough to not have this, you know, horrendously large footprint. Because when you think about, for instance, TV, it was around for a couple presidents before Kennedy. Truman was on TV. It's just people associate it with Kennedy because he has something, there's something that really resonated on it. For the internet's not new. You know, it certainly was around in the 2004 campaign, but I think it really resonated with the temperament and personality of Barack Obama.
The footage that you would capture would then go where?
At the White House, everything that I capture, and I talk about this, you know, in the book, it goes into the archives and should be accessible by the public in 5 years after the presidency is over. So every scrap, every missed shot, every bad focus, every time someone stubs their toe and says a bad word, warts and all, it goes into the archives and it becomes property of the public.
And is there immediate use of any of this?
Yeah, well, you know, I was able to, and this was part of my real struggle joining the White House. I thought, this stuff is so great, people really want to see this. How can we document history in real time? How can we get this out to people? And it was hard to think of ways, but I would say the biggest success I had at the White House was creating a show called West Wing Week, which still exists, and it's a weekly wrap-up of all the president's activities, official duties, intermixed with some fun behind-the-scenes stuff, and that comes out every week. And so it's almost, you know, an immediate reaction to all the things that have happened in that week.
When you look at what is how many cameras are trained on the president, and especially now during a campaign, of all of that, I mean, is there a point of us knowing or I guess I just think of that going into the archive and wondering, okay, but what purpose does that serve? I mean, some of it has to be interesting, but should there be an editing of it or no?
You know, I think editing is a very important aspect of it, and obviously we do a lot of editing when we try to put these things into these small pieces in West Wing Week. I think putting things up in their entirety in the archives is good because we're hoping that editors of the future will bring the context and historical, you know, feel that they have to it. But, you know, the main thing what you're saying, which is, you know, let's be honest, HD camera is inside every phone. It's inside every everything. Security cameras are basically good enough to make feature films at this point. But I think, would there be a purpose in putting all of those things in the archives? Not really. I still have to toot my own horn a bit and say I think that the authorship, I think that the filmmaker behind the camera still matters. I think the things that I decided to shoot were based not just on shooting everything all the time, keep the camera in focus, just keep it on, but actually using my best judgment to know what was going on, what might be interesting, and just simple filmmaking mechanics, you know, making sure I took establishing shots of places so that an editor in the future can say, oh, the president spoke at this high school, but actually have a nice shot of the high school to show while they're saying that. You know, so I did try to think about this whole project from a filmmaker's perspective. What would I want as a filmmaker of the future?
Why did you stop doing it?
you know, I just burned out. It was a great job. I would have kept doing it forever if I could. But I had a toddler I wasn't paying enough attention to, and some bones that were starting to ache.
I was going to ask you about that because it's actually, I found it fascinating of a picture telling 1,000 words, but the photo of you on just the front cover of the book has you in a suit but wearing sneakers. I mean, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about it.
That was kind of my signature move. I definitely kept it up in the White House, not just out of a cool factor, but I had slid down a couple of these slick steps a couple times, and I was like, you know what? Falling down when you're hanging out with the president is not necessarily the smartest thing to do. And so I took to wearing my sneakers, and, you know, the president is just a very, you know, warm and authentic guy, and someone pointed out that I was wearing sneakers in the White House during one of our weekly dress tapings, and he was like, that sounds fine. I don't give a crap. And then that was the last I heard about the shoes until we were in Japan at a foreign head of state house. And he kind of looked down and saw that I was wearing dress shoes because I put them on. You're in somebody else's president's house, right? You know, it's nice to dress up. And he said, man, you're not wearing your sneakers. You're a sellout.
did he actually say, I don't give a crap?
Yes.
Okay. I think about this a lot in quote unquote reality television. But was there a point with you around that he didn't even realize you were there sometimes, or was he always keenly aware that you were there?
You know, I think it's something in between those. I was never much of a fly in the wall. You know, I kind of tried to dispel that myth in the book. I'm a chatterbox. I'm very loud, and people talk to me. I talk back, and you'll see in the archives when this footage comes out, there's a lot of, let's say, director's commentary. I just kind of am always talking. The president's having a conversation with me. I don't stop filming. I just will continue to have a conversation, and I think that's the secret of my success, not pretending to be in the background but actually trying to make myself part of the situation. In which everyone had a job to do, and my job happened to be the guy who hits record on the camera.
It's a fascinating book. It's First Cameraman, documenting the Obama presidency in real time. It is published by Times Books. Arun Chaudhry, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you aboard.
This is really fun. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, Arun Chaudhry's book is First Cameraman, documenting the Obama presidency in real time. It's published by Times Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.